listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 83 of the Geocaching Podcast. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Gerald Ryder
and Monty Ryder.
Both at the same time. If you guys want to participate in our show tonight, give us a call at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Tonight, we are going to be talking a little bit about Muggle stories. So you can join our chat room, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Just click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. If you want to give us a call during the week when we're not live, our voicemail number is 206-350-3GPS. And on Twitter, we can be found at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Welcome back, Montu and Daryl.
Good to be back.
So, Montu, why don't you start us out? What's been happening?
Oh, not much. Saturday, we went to a great event held by a cacher by the name of RR Engineer. The event was called The Second Burn Baby Burn, Them Hot Dogs, which was GC1GR9P. It was about 50 miles north of us. We had a little bit of a drive to get there. But while attending the event, in addition to logging the event cache, we also found two caches that were nearby as well. So mostly, though, had an excellent time. He had a nice campfire set up, and few people burned the dogs, but most people actually got them cooked properly, and we all had a great time. Daryl, how about you?
Well, that sounds like an excellent event. Unfortunately, it's a little bit cold up here to be doing that now.
Yeah, but that's where that fire felt real good.
yeah, I would imagine so. Well, we did some afternoon caching on Saturday with our buddies Team Legend 4, and it was Bill's birthday, so happy belated birthday, Bill. And then I also got the chance to try out my new Flip Minnow HD. Very cool little device. It's a little portable video camera that basically doesn't have any functions on it. It's, hit the button to record, no real zoom. It does have a digital zoom. Charges via USB, just kind of like an iPod. Built-in memory, just like an iPod does. And it does 720p H.264 video. It's very impressive for, the 230, I think it is, that they ask for the camera. But I put together a quick little video, which we've included in the Geocaching Podcast Plus feed. And it was the first time I actually got to use that camera for anything more than just poking around. And I also threw it all together in iMovie real quick. I'm finding iMovie a little bit hard to use because I'm used to the higher-end video editing applications like the Avids and the Final Cut type of things. But throwing it together as quick as I did, I think it's maybe about 15 minutes end-to-end to put the whole thing together in iMovie. And the camera's surprisingly good, and I'm very happy with the video that we got out of that thing. Now, Andy, how can people get into that Geocaching Podcast Plus feed thing?
Well, we put the Geocaching Podcast Supporters Plus feed just for as a thank you to the people who decide to financially support this podcast. We know times are hard, and we really appreciate your donations. And so to get access to that, and it's just extra stuff, a lot of fun extra stuff. So to get access, just click our donation button on the right-hand side of our webpage at www.geocachingpodcast.info, and I will send you the feed and the password for it. I did get the chance to see the movie, obviously, since it's in our Plus feed. I was really, really, really impressed with that camera. It, for being a small camera like that and just not a professional type of thing, it did really good video. So it was good to see that. Not much on our end as far as caching goes. It's been cold here. We've just been trying to stay warm. Is really all we've really been doing those last couple weeks here, but we did get some listener feedback on our voicemail, which is 206-350-3GPS, and that's from Dan of Dan and Steph. So let's go ahead and play that.
Hey guys, this is Dan from Dan and Steph. I wanted to call in some feedback on the last show. I really wish I could have been there for the Cashier's Coffee episode. I listened to it while I was waiting to catch a bus to go meet my new geocaching buddy. The discussion about the Where I Go player kind of put me over the top. I'm now working on building a Where I Go cartridge. It will be only the second Where I Go in all of South Korea. Also, there's not a single geocache in the town outside where I'll be working, so I've got lots of choices of where I can hide them and kind of populate that area. And thanks for inspiring me to get to work on this Where I Go cache, and I'll post up the link to it when I get around to actually finishing it and posting it up. All right. Take care, and I'll be listening.
Now, Dan actually did post a link to some of those images that he's working on for that Where I Go cartridge. They are really great-looking images. So, Dan, I'm really looking forward to checking that out.
Now, we've decided that at least for the month of, well, December through February, we kind of like the idea of the Cashier Coffee. So we'll be hosting one of those on the last Tuesday of every month, December through February. So those dates, if you want to make it, make a note of those, are December 30th, January 27th, and February 24th. And again, what the Cashier Coffee is just kind of like an open forum where we talk about anything that's on your mind. It's kind of a relaxed, open forum type of thing, a little bit different. But since, you know, geocaching news and stuff like that slows down a little bit during the winter, we decided we'd do the Cashier Coffee. So we look forward to doing that. And again, that's going to be the last Tuesday of the month, December through February. Daryl, I hear something about Bishop's Power Notes. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, Bishop announced via Twitter that version 1.53 of Power Notes for Pocket PC has been released. You can visit the powercaching.com website to check that out, and you know, that's available for both Pocket PC and for Windows. So again, that's powercaching.com.
Well, tonight we're going to be chatting a little bit about our encounters with Muggles this evening. So we'd love to hear your stories, too. Muggles are always a fun topic on how you get rid of them or convert them. So if you're listening live and you want to participate in this show today, give us a call at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. And if you're just on the phone, go ahead and press the star 8 to request a talk. Or if you are in our chat room, you can press the request to talk in the upper right-hand corner. So if you've got a Muggle story that you'd like to share and you're not on our live call, you can call our voicemail line. And again, that's 206-350-3GPS. And we'll try to get that included in next week's show. Montu, would you like to fill us in first on what a Muggle is and where it came from?
No, not a problem. Now, of course, according to Groundspeak Glossary, a Muggle is a non-geocacher based on Muggle from the Harry Potter series, which is a non-magical person. Usually this term is used after a non-geocacher looks puzzled after befriending a geocacher searching for a cache, or when a non-geocacher accidentally finds a cache. Geomuggles are mostly harmless.
Yeah, but as you might expect, Muggle encounters can be good or bad, and geocachers typically tend to think of Muggle stories as bad experiences. Many times, you won't even have seen these Muggles. They'll just have shown up and walked off with your cache, sometimes spreading debris along the way. Yeah, my probably worst Muggle story was actually some kids that we ran into in mid-Michigan. They had run over the top of a hill, hid out, watched us, figured out where the cache was, and we saw them running down as we were driving away. So when we got done with our appointment in town, we drove back there, checked it out, and sure enough, the kids had destroyed the cache, and there was stuff everywhere. So it was really disheartening, and we kind of almost didn't want to go caching after that. Matu, I think you probably have a good story, too.
Oh, yeah. At first, I was thinking I didn't have one for this, and then I remembered we had one incident where our pride and joy Excalibur had gotten muggled, and two of the stages had actually been used as a bathroom. Needless to say, it took us a little bit of time to get those containers cleaned out. Andy?
Well, I can't say that I've had my caches destroyed by muggles. Usually the muggles that we encounter are usually we end up talk to them. I mean, some people, you know, try to distract them with other different interesting stories about what they're actually doing. But we usually try to tell the muggles, you know, what we're doing. We don't try to distract them. But the only thing that I've really had is micro caches, micro stealing squirrels. There's a cache that I have that's in a real, real small cemetery. There's like three headstones, and it's in the base of this tree. And unfortunately, the base of the tree is, I think, where the squirrels like to keep their nuts or whatever, you know, their food. Because almost every time someone finds it, they say, well, we found it out in the open, but we went ahead and replaced it where we think it is. I mean, granted, there's only like two trees around, so there's not very many places it can be. But it seems like every time one finds it, it's never where it's supposed to be. So ours are more with animals than muggle animals than muggle people. But not all encounters with muggles are bad, though. As a matter of fact, many muggles are converted into geocaching through the muggle encounters. Like I was saying, you know, ours mostly, we don't try to masquerade what we're doing. We, you know, people ask, either if they ask us or we, you know, we see them and they obviously see us reaching around things. We'll talk to them. One time when we were caching, there was like this, it's like a train museum, and they had I think it was a caboose or an engine out in front, and there was a cache on it. And there's like four of us looking for this cache, and we couldn't find it. So we're looking all under this caboose and all around the caboose. I mean, more than normal people would do. I mean, if you just see one person doing that, you don't really think about that too much because they're just kind of looking around. But with four different people looking intently, you kind of wonder what they're doing. So we saw this guy, and he didn't really actually approach us and ask us what we were doing, but he was looking at us kind of strangely. So I went up to him and told him, you know, hey, this is what we're doing. We're looking for what's called a geocache. I told him, you know, we didn't, you know, what we were trying to find and where they can get more information about it. And he was actually in town just to see his daughter, but I don't know if he became a geocacher or not, but that was our good muggle story. Really, I can't think of any other muggles. We really haven't had too many muggles on the trail. Daryl, how about yourself?
Well, we actually ran into an older couple at Indian Springs while we were out there earth caching, and that's a metro park about 15 miles from the house here. And they had a couple of GPSs for years and never really did much with them except for fishing and hunting. Well, they saw us running around with these GPSs, getting pictures in front of all these signs, and just kind of asked us what we were doing. So we talked with them for a little while. He got really interested in it, you know, just on some scrap paper we wrote down, you know, the geocaching.com address and the statewide MIGO organization's website, passed it off to them. Haven't really heard too much. Hopefully they tried it out. But we really wish we had brought along some of those little pamphlets from, like, you know, a number of the state organizations have them too. But Geocacher University has little PDFs that you can print up and fold up into nice little trifolds and pass out. So it's really nice to have that stuff when you run into these muggles who are, you know, really interested in trying out the sport. Now, Mon, too, I'm sure you've had some good ones too.
Yeah, well, we definitely have. Now, speaking of those pamphlets, we actually use those on two occasions. I've been working with two of the local parks here that are wilderness preserves that have quite a few caches in them, and have set up a caching booth at both. Where we were actually passing out pamphlets. In fact, at the one park, we actually have converted the head ranger. In fact, he is making plans on attending our event on December 28th. So we've actually had some good luck there getting the word out about geocaching and hopefully getting people to leave our ammo cans alone. Now, the most unnerving of muggle stories, though, are unfortunately, the official stories, those run-ins with security, public safety, law enforcement, or even customs agents. Now, we've gone after one cache twice now that is located behind a local shopping center. It's a multi-stage cache. The first stage is in the front of the shopping center. the second stage is at the other end and behind the shopping center. Now, both times that we've made an attempt on this, we've run into a sheriff's department deputy who has chased us off. Didn't want anything to hear about it. Just, you don't belong here. Move along, please. Andy?
Well, we've not had too many issues. There was one time we were down in Louisville, Kentucky, and we were looking for one that was in a parking garage, and the parking, it was a real, real hard one, and we ended up not finding it. We went back several times, and we never were confronted by the security guard there, but we definitely got really bad looks, and they started to walk at us. So we kind of, you know, kept walking, but we haven't had any official, like, police ones, but we have had a cache where I placed one time that was in a cemetery that was not really cop-friendly cache. Little did I know when I placed the cache that there had already been previously a cache there that didn't survive real well because of the cops kept asking people what they were doing and chasing them out of the cemetery. And, I mean, even people during the day, not they were there at night. And so I placed the cache there, and I had someone tell me the same thing. They were chased out by the police. Next thing I know, my cache is actually missing. So who knows? Maybe the police took it. It made me mad because it was in an ammo can, and I really wanted the ammo can back. But, oh well. Daryl, how about yourself?
Well, we've had a few minor run-ins with the police, fortunately. But most memorable was our first encounter, which was after dark on an FTF attempt in Hines Park, which is a couple of counties away. And unfortunately, the park closes at dusk, and we didn't know that. So we're sitting there, just casually in the car looking at the GPSs and nodes and stuff. We didn't end up finding it, and we were giving up at that point. But, officer rolls in, lights on, and wants to know what we're doing. So fortunately, we had the Geocaching for Dummies book that I had won like 2 days or something like that prior at an event, and passed that to him and showed him the printouts that we had from GC on the FTF hunt. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I can tell you probably right where they've hidden that. It's, you know, over there, but, you know, don't do it now. Come back in the morning. And he just let us off with a warning, let us go. But it seems most of the people we talked to through Cachemaniacs, if you haven't gone about 2 years with a official encounter, chances are you're going to get away without one. So ours was about a year and a half into it, so we just barely got hit by that.
Well, if there is anyone else who wants to put any input in tonight, they can give us a call at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, and push the request to talk. As far as the Muggles go, I've had not too many problems with Muggles. I haven't even really encountered many Muggles. Daryl, do you guys find a lot of Muggles that you encounter?
Not
really.
Yeah,
especially on those urban caches, we run into a lot of them. And most of the time, they don't really do much more than watch.
Well, if anyone else would like to put any information in as far as this with their stories, give us a call, 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. And again, if you're listening to this later recorded and you want to share some of your fun Muggle stories with us, give us a call at 206-350-3GPS, and we'll get that on the show next week. Speaking of next week, we do this show every week, and next week we're going to be talking about the geocaching gift guide. And what we're going to be talking is just, well, you'll have to come and watch. So join us next Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Talk to Service. And you can call in live to our show, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 755. Go ahead and put that in your phones right now. I know that sometimes that's a hard number to remember. And Montu, even being the co-host, sometimes has forgot that number. Go ahead and put that in your phone so you can get to us when you need to get in. Or you can sign on at talkshow.com. Our show notes and all of our links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS anytime and leave us a voicemail. Thanks. Have a great week and keep on caching.